Pod Tackler, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 878, Silver Sanctioned, recorded live on March 14th, 2024. Hello everyone, welcome to Pod Tackler, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Duststorm.
I am your other co-host, Godzilla T.
And you got two sleepy co-hosts today. So if you hear a bunch of yawning that I don't somehow edit out after this weekend, you're welcome for making you yawn, because you'll probably hear us yawning, you'll probably yawn in response. Anyways, there's dark bags on the rise if you can't see them on the Twitch stream. Anyways, so welcome to this podcast. We've got a little bit of news to go over, and we're also going to start our jump into the season 2 of the Halo TV show. Thanks to Laird for hooking me up with a $25 Paramount Plus gift card thingy. I think he said it was from an HCS event, so thank you, Laird. I've watched the first two episodes, although the last week has been crazy, so I had to rewatch the first episode before the podcast tonight, so we'll be talking about the first episode tonight, and then I will be out of town next weekend, or next week, for our anniversary, so we will not have a podcast next week. So in 2 weeks, we will hopefully be up to maybe episode 4 or so. Did they say how many episodes were supposed to be in this season?
I don't know how many total episodes, no.
I think they're out, what, episode 6 or 7 came out this week?
Yeah, 7th one just came out, so.
So, yeah, we will be going through those over the next couple of weeks, trying to catch up, and we'll go from there. But first off, a little recap on what happened with... there's only 8 episodes, so there's only one more. So we could probably go through the entire rest of the series next time we have the podcast.
That's sad. I was kind of hoping it was going to be like 10 or 12.
Yeah, it just says 8. So, Confell says now that he's done fixing up the project house, he can binge watch the rest of it. So yeah, we'll cover episode 1, I guess, this week, and then we'll just blow through the rest of the season for the next podcast, and then we'll call it done. Although, depending on, there's probably enough stuff that maybe have a couple more episodes about it. But anyways, Fragment Friday last week, since GT, you had some other things preventing you from coming, we actually ended up doing customs last week in Halo.
Nice. Infinite.
Yeah. Everyone seemed to have a good time with it. We had about, I want to say, 6 people in total. Maybe 7. I think it was 7. And we did some of the classics. So we did Speed Halo. We did not Husky Raid. What's the other one? Rochambeau.
Halo. Oh, Rochambeau.
I downloaded a few different Rochambeau maps, and we played 2 or 3 of them. There was another game mode that was kind of similar to Cops and Robbers type of thing. So we tried that. There are a couple Mario Kart race maps. There's one group that's been making like Mario Kart remakes, and the race mode is not quite the cleanest, but we did try a couple of the Mario Kart maps, and that was fun. It's pretty true, although we did Toad's Turnpike and none of the cars moved. It's like, come on, you can't script the cars to move. I thought someone had made some kind of, and maybe this I'm confusing it with, oh, I'm probably confusing it with Curse Halo, actually having like the power up that you can go through and actually have a power up, but they didn't have any of the power ups in Infinite, but I'm sure you could script them. So we did that. Confell, yep, Speed Halo was pretty fun. I suck at Speed Halo in Infinite because a whole 2.5 minutes went by before I got any kill in the round that I was the zombie first. And yeah, maybe like 2 other people got converted before the end of the round was done. That was nice. The only round where the survivors won. It's like, yeah, I apparently suck at Speed Halo on Infinite. the timing with the hammers, I guess, is just different.
Yeah, I still haven't figured it out.
Customs was a lot of fun. We did a couple of big team after the stream was done just to get some daily challenges and whatnot done. But we, for the duration of the game night, we did customs and people seem to have a lot of fun with it. And I know there's several other customs that have been out there. I didn't really go looking too much, but there's the Helldivers 2 that's being worked on by the Forge, Falcons. I think there's the Battle Royale type thing. We did try one of those Battle Royale things, but it was kind of weird. So it was fun, though. We missed you, DT. Hopefully you'll be back tomorrow.
Well, things go the way they're going, I will be.
Very good. All right. Time to dive into a little bit of the news. So, first things first, we'll go through some of the Waypoint stuff. There is a new community spotlight. Always good to check out what the community is making in terms of art, screenshots, videos, and really a lot of classic Halo, kind of 360 era Halo stuff being shown off this week, it looks like, in the spotlight. We've also got another community corner for Katrin 343. I know I've seen the name before. I'm not sure what they do within the community. I haven't looked at it too much, but there's another one of those out. Cyber Showdown 3 has launched as well, also with a new 20-tier battle pass that actually launched last week. So that has kicked off new 20 tiers. We also have a refresh on the Husky Raid maps, which is funny because I actually have not gone in to play Husky Raid since the refresh. No, I have. I take that back. I have. I've only played one new map on the refresh out of the six new maps that they have introduced. So that's there. And there's also the first HCS event happening this weekend in Arlington, Texas. So that'll be going down this weekend. There will be drops on Twitch. There's also some giveaways that the HCS account's doing on Twitter. So make sure you go over and follow at HCS on Twitter to make sure you have a chance to enter into those. We're also giving away another one of the Halo Infinite Xbox Series X consoles. If you don't have one of those yet, you can take your time to snag one of those.
I would like the controller.
What do you mean you would like the controller? Instead of, I thought, don't you have the Xbox?
I have the Xbox. I want the controller.
The Xbox comes with the controller.
No, the Elite controller.
Oh.
I still have yet to find one for sale that is at retail price. Yes, I know you have one.
Thank you, Laird. He could probably hook you up with one. It'd just be retail price in Canada and then pay for shipping.
Yeah, I haven't found anything here in the States retail. They're still all over eBay for twice the money.
I guess, are they just not making them anymore? Like, was it a limited run?
I'm guessing it was a limited run.
Huh. I mean, with how popular Halo stuff is, you would think they would actually, like, you know, plan to produce a little bit more.
I don't know. I know I keep checking Best Buy and GameStop, Amazon. I even check in on the Xbox store, and they're just not available anywhere.
Might have to find something overseas and have someone ship it to you. Or find someone in the community that is willing to part with one. Anyways. In other community news, that wraps up the Halo Waypoint news. In other community news, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, but mostly unfortunately, a lot of our childhoods is now kind of going away. Red versus Blue, the company behind it, Rooster Teeth, is officially shutting down.
They had a pretty good run.
They had a decent run. I have not watched many of their projects outside of Red versus Blue. Used to watch Achievement Hunter a lot back in the day, especially when they were doing the Minecraft stuff and also the horse on Halo.
Mm-hmm.
Watch the podcast a little bit. Watch the first season of Ruby. But other than that, never really got into many of their other projects. But
I actually watched Ruby and I was enjoying it.
They're up to season 8 now?
Yeah.
Something like that. But some of the projects that they're working on currently, they're going to be wrapping up and still put out. There's other productions that I think will still be ongoing, like the Rooster Teeth podcast and a couple of other things. But for the most part, Rooster Teeth is shutting down.
Sad days.
Yeah. Red vs. Blue was coming to an end anyways, the season 20, which I don't think has released yet, but that's still going to be coming out, and that will be the finale for Red vs. Blue. Oh, Penn says Ruby was at season 9. But, oh yeah, and Fails of the Week. That was good too.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah. Won't get into the politics of some of the stuff going on behind the scenes with Rooster Teeth. Some people know. If you don't know, probably best you don't know. In other news, there's a group out there called Insignia that's been working on bringing back original Xbox Live services for games from the original Xbox console. And they've recently been posting updates about their support for Halo 2. So Halo 2 OG matchmaking is actually coming back.
Nice.
Yeah. There's a whole project of and list of games that had multiplayer and had Xbox Live services back in the day. And it looks like they're by some means they're able to, I guess maybe they took over the domain because Microsoft sold it and didn't renew it or something. But this group is going and restoring Xbox Live services for a whole slew of original Xbox titles. And
nice.
It just happens to be one of them because that was the very first game that really had Xbox Live.
Either that or they just outright bought the domain from them.
That's what I mean.
If you don't have to make any modifications to your Xbox to connect to it, that's the only thing I can think of.
And that's what it sounded like. I saw this come across Twitter feeds and it blowing up. It came one of like the gaming trending topics on Twitter. And then Mint Blitz made a video about it. So people are really excited about Halo 2 OG coming back.
Mm-hmm.
If you care to play on a 480p screen. but it's cool to see that come back. And then go ahead.
Well, if the original Xbox service is coming back, I wonder if you'd be able to connect to it with a 360.
I had that thought too, of like if you had an OG Xbox game and you put on a 360, would it connect? And I mean, it should, because the game is still running the 360 in the just emulator.
Sort of emulates a original Xbox.
Right, and then it just pumps. Yeah, so yeah. It, in theory, it should.
That would be interesting. So I might have to bring the Halo 3 Xbox out of retirement.
Right. And then the other thing I wanted to touch on, and this is probably no surprise to anybody, but apparently 343 was trying to find ways to continue development of MCC, and Microsoft eventually shut down any further development because Halo fans backlashed against their microtransaction.
Big angle. Surprise.
It's like, no duh. And apparently there's been a lot of revelations as of late of Microsoft telling 343 what to do, and people are kind of like hopping on the 343 bandwagon now. Now that all that upper management gone, it's like, you know, 343 tries to go to bat for the community, and there's a lot of us have been saying that for a while.
Let's see. About a year and a half ago, I know some people that said something very similar to that.
But yeah.
Don't play with don't kid yourself, people. Microsoft pulls the strings. They've always pulled the strings. They
do.
It doesn't matter how much authority they give anybody in any game studio. Microsoft still says yes or no. And if it costs them money and doesn't make them money, it's a no.
It's unfortunate because there's a lot of potential there. Still, with mod support.
Mm-hmm. No, don't get me wrong. There's definitely potential there. But if they're not going to see any kind of revenue stream out of it, there's no point in it. And
I get it.
You can bet with this latest showing, any hope of getting Halo 5 ported onto PC is pretty damn slim. And
I can still
to
hope.
Get Halo 5 to get any treatment like the MCC did, I wouldn't hold your breath.
It'll be a tough sell for sure.
Well, the only way they'll do it is if Microsoft can make money on it somehow. Now, the whole fixing MCC, that was more a save face move. They knew, well, Microsoft still had to approve the money spent fixing MCC.
True.
And Bonnie and the people that were leading 343 at that time sold the idea to Microsoft. So that we need to get back in our fans' good graces, and this is a way we can do it. So, to anybody that thinks the people that were there were mismanaging 343, I hope you're paying attention. Because if it wasn't for those people, guess what condition MCC would be in now?
Launch date.
It would have never got fixed.
I mean, MCC is hailed as one of the greatest collections now, and it didn't start out that way.
No, it was a pile of hot garbage.
It was. And people slogged through it.
Yeah. You know, I hate to say I told you so, but
yeah.
I hope the community's paying attention to it.
Well, I think,
and I hope they remember it next time they're calling for the heads of people at 343 or any game studio.
I mean, it's just uncalled for, period. So that's the community side of things. And I think with that, we can jump into our main topic of the night, which will be the first episode of Season 2, Sanctuary.
Big red banner across screen. Spoilers!
Spoiler. Pens. Spoiler. Well, I think you've watched the first episode, so you're fine. But yes, fair warning, we are talking about Season 2. If you have not watched Season 2, at least the first episode, then you might want to put a pause on this, come back to it later. And yeah, other than that, you won't be missing too much. So, I like the opening, that it's at least tying back to the ending of the first season, although it's still kind of like, question what the heck happened. I'm assuming that's intentionally. I'm assuming it's going to be coming in later episodes, how that's explained a little bit more. But I'm seeing a little bit more of an alignment to more traditional Halo lore in this first episode. It's like, okay, trying to kind of slide back in to where a lot more of the game lore is, kind of introducing Ackerson in that more Oni manipulating things in the background and other things going on behind the scenes, kind of drawing things politically. Although we don't see that in the games per se, a lot more in the books, but it does seem to be a little bit more trying to go in the direction of aligning toward the book and game lore now. So I think that's a big win for a lot of folks.
Yeah, it's similar, but it's still different.
It's going to be different. The way Season 1 set up and the way the Silver Universe is set up, it's going to be different.
Yeah, it is not a one-to-one comparison to the established lore. There are liberties taken. They are reusing character names and characters from the actual official lore.
Prez being one.
There are a few inconsistencies, but they're minor. Overall, I thought they did a really good job for the first episode. I'm going to kind of let Dust go because I don't want to accidentally spoil the next episode for him. And I'll just kind of chime in along the way.
Okay, sounds good. It was interesting to see how Ackerson's kind of being brought in, especially with, it's kind of like backwards with Perengoski and Ackerson in the Silver timeline. Unless, like, eventually she comes back around, which I figure, judging by GT's really trying not to spoil anything, something's going to happen later in the TV show.
Well, you know Perengoski from the books.
Oh, yeah.
She's the same.
And she slips John that little button to say, whenever you have stuff, call me. So, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if, like, she kind of sneaks her way back in. Is like, hey, I have this information. I'm Oni. I never really leave Oni. They might say I'm gone, but I still got my contacts and sources. Because who's, I mean, they haven't really introduced, and I don't know if that might be a thing behind the scenes, but Black Box.
No, they have not. They have not. So far in this universe, the only smart AI that exists is Cortana.
But it's Parangoski.
Near as I can tell. Yeah.
And I am curious to see if this develops more in the later episodes, and GT probably may or may not know, but if Parangoski is really going to help Master Chief in addition to her own gain, or is she really just getting information for her own gain and is going to use Master Chief more as a puppet? But I see it kind of going either way. Like, she wants to help Chief, but really in order for her own gain, or does she really only care about her own gain?
She has a plan.
She has a plan. And it's Parangoski. Hopefully she does. With how the books describe Parangoski, at least in the Kilo 5 trilogy and everything, she's 20 steps ahead of anybody in Oni.
She's living up to her reputation.
That's good. Okay. And Ackerson is... he seems like he plays the role of he thinks he has all the power. And he's told he has all the power. He wants to hold on to that power. But he's probably not going to have that power for very long. So, and steeping the public in lies and really trying to sow the seeds of doubt and really trying to get to... I can't tell what his angle is with Chief yet. Like, obviously, there's the Oni side of things of, like, he's trying to control everything, but... And trying to do the whole propaganda, like, control the info about the war as it's going out. That's one thing, but it's like... You really not care about your own assets? I mean, it's one thing to spin lies and to tell the public one thing. It's another thing to completely ignore your own asset to risk other of your most powerful assets in the field. So that'll be interesting to see as that develops, that relationship. Seeing McKee back was interesting.
Mm-hmm. Considering she's supposed to be dead.
Right? But she's back.
Like, know how she survived that one.
I'm guessing that might be explained later. Or is that just some... Have you seen all the way through episode 7? Just out of curiosity. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Matter of fact, I watched episode 7 today.
Okay. introduction of another Spartan team, Cobalt team. And I do remember a couple things from episode 2 and the tie-in it has to Reach. So... That was exciting. We'll get to that in the next time. Don't want to spill that over that too much. the Soren timeline is interesting. Now that he got tricked by, I don't know who this crew with this kid is basically enticed him out. Apparently risking his family for, I guess, wanting revenge on Halsey. I mean, that's the only angle I can really see of him being interested in any lead on Halsey. And the fact that his wife said that there were, what, 4 or 6 other people claiming to know where Halsey is come in, and he just jumps on this one is kind of a little out there, but he gets arrested. And then who is the Asian girl at the very end? I'm blanking on her name.
The one Chief rescued from the planet in the first series.
Yeah, I'm blanking on her name. Quan, thank you, Pens.
Yeah.
She's back. I was not really expecting her back. I mean, I knew it was a possibility, but just how her story ended, it was kind of a very weird direction where it went. But she's back and telling Soren's son about monsters, and there's this whole scene playing of don't be afraid of monsters, and... He tells his dad to swear that there's no monsters, and he doesn't, which kind of is telling. Nice little setup there for the end of the episode, and how Quan was telling Soren's son about the monsters, basically the Covenant coming to glass planets.
Mm-hmm.
Perez was an interesting introduction, like recognizing that name from Halo 1, from Halo Combat Evolved. And... I mean, I think that's kind of all the major story beats from the first episode. Laird is poking fun at the fact that I haven't watched TV episodes. Hey, I've been busy, okay? Work has been a nightmare.
Well, he can't keep up the books. What thinks he keep up with the TV show?
GT has a point. I hate to admit it, but he has a point. Oh, and then the folks at the beginning of the episode, the cultists or whatever, they're not at all related to the Quan storyline from the first season, right?
It's a cannot confirm thing. Or deny that right now.
Well, I think you just did. Yeah, so that set up an interesting little story beat for your nose flare.
No,
I want to end this podcast soon, whole, so we don't get GT an aneurysm.
The episode does a good job at setting up the story beats for the series. You know, they start off with making Chief out to be mentally unstable after his little event with Cortana and his interaction with the Forerunner artifact. The fact that at first he is led down a path where he doubts he actually saw Maquis, but he knows he saw the Covenant.
But I thought in the episode he had like flashbacks that was like...
No, he like did, but
they actually Maquis had... in the fighting.
Yeah. Well, that's where he meets Perez.
Right.
They were defending a
comms
communication relay because the Covenant attacked the relay. And the way they did it, I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the fight scene. They did a really good job portraying the physical abilities of a Spartan. I think it's better than they've had up to that point.
It's still physically jarring to see like all the CGI and rapid movement. And then when you see the Spartans in character actually moving, it's like so slow human movement. Mm-hmm. It's like, I mean, I know you can only do so much there, but it's definitely like you can tell.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's some things.
At least the visual fidelity of the CGI seems better for that scene than it had been for season one.
There's definite improvement to the CGI. There's no weird faces. Although the one thing I have to say, the Sengeli's heads seem to be a little squished. I mean, they don't seem to be as tall as their face.
Weren't they a little squished in Halo Wars, comparatively? I feel like there was a game where the Elite's heads were a little bit more squished than they had been in other games.
Yeah,
I thought that was Halo Wars.
It seems disproportionate to the body. Okay, it's like, okay, you remember the cutscene in Halo 2, the updated cutscene. The
blur cutscene.
Where Arbiter Felvedem takes his Arbiter armor. Well, his jawline, his eyes, and his head all seem to be proportional to each other. In this one, it's like they took and went like this. You know, they kind of squished the head down. So now that the eyes almost kind of are
at the jawline,
like right above the upper mandibles, and there's no forehead.
I didn't notice that. I mean, I'll take your word for it.
It has a lot to do with the helmet that they've designed for the elites. At least the elites that they show. And, you know, they're not these massive headdresses that typically elites wear. So, yeah, it's just a little off-putting. I mean, still, like I said, the quality of it is much better than it was. There's no weird bug eye looks or anything like that. Like in the first one where the chief blows the elite's brains out.
True.
They did get a little bit more accurate on these. The Spartans' bullets don't just magically go through the energy shields. They actually have to wear down the energy shield to get penetration. So that's good.
I did that's like a couple of the more. Moves where when one of the elites was running up towards Chief, he just shotgun
right
behind him, and then the one pistol shot down. So those are some cool just Chief being a badass moment.
But yeah, it was I enjoyed the fight scene. It was a good one.
It was. And seeing more connections to the Halo lore is nice.
Mm-hmm.
The game and book lore. Because for the season one, it was more just like, okay, here's the framework of the universe. Own separate story. But now it seems like, okay, they're finally bringing pieces into the story.
No, they are bringing pieces into the story, but it's not a copy-paste.
No, it's not. It still has to be built into the confines of what they've already established within the Silver timeline, but at least seeing a lot more reference in of actual narrative events is refreshing. I'll put it that way. And yes, it's Silver timeline. I know there's a lot of hardcore Halo fans that are still upset that it's a separate timeline.
Well, they can just get in their happy panties and go do something else. Don't watch it. But I'm enjoying it. It was a good continuation of the story from the first season.
And I'll touch on a couple of episode two things just real quick. Not too spoilers, but hearing Visengrad relay, like that was a nice, like, oh, I know where that is. That's in Halo Reach. And there's a few other things in there that I'm going to wait till next time that we talk about. But Visengrad was a nice touch. Seeing the, like, coming to hitting the relays and all that stuff and how we see that in the games, and that's a tactic. Like, yep. Like to see that pulled in. I still like the fact that they're expanding on story bits from season one and still carrying it on. Like, it's still its own identity of a Halo story. And it's set up that way, so it should be, and it should continue to be that way. But it's nice to actually see, okay, we're actually going to take some lore from the universe and adapt it in to what we've stood up. Other than just saying, there's Spartans, there's Covenant, and there's the framework of the universe, but actually pull in some details. So, I like the direction it's going so far with episode one and the bits of what I remember from episode two. It'll be interesting to see how that morphs over time and how that adapts to either bring more content from the game and book lore into the franchise, while also expanding on the first season's worth of stuff. And I'm assuming there's going to be some more characters probably referenced in from lore and maybe some new ones as well. I'm hoping they don't introduce too many new characters and maybe rely some on the book material, but there'll obviously be kind of some ancillary characters that might just be named because they need to have names.
Well, I mean, honestly, they haven't done a whole lot of new characters. I mean, well, there's four so far. You have the three Spartans and then Quan. And then, you know, the related characters around those. But I mean, pretty much all the main characters are names that were already in the lore.
Well, Quan's new, McKee's new. Were all the Silver Team members new, or were they actually pulled from?
I don't know that they were pulled from the existing lore. I don't recognize any of the names, but I don't think officially we've been introduced to all the Spartans in the lore. I mean, like in actual book form or video form. I know there's some documentation where they do actually list all the Spartan names. But like I said, I would have to go through and look to see if they actually were existing Spartans.
Pins is saying he thinks they are from Halo Wars as Omega Team.
It is entirely possible.
They are former members. Riz028, Kai125, and Vanek134.
There we go. Oh, so they're not necessarily new characters, they're just in a different situation.
No, hang on. So I'm looking at Halopedia. Oh, they were former members of Omega Team and then were recently assigned to Silver Team. Okay, no, so it's original Spartans, they just repurposed them, I guess, into into the TV show. Well, that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
That they're actually.
So now we're down to technically two new characters.
Baki, Quan. Yeah, and then the surrounding characters for their stories.
Well, I mean, yeah, there are new characters there, but as far as the main characters,
we've got Okay, that's fair.
I mean, yeah, there's always going to, whenever you do something like, there's always going to be new characters. Because, you know, you have your main characters and then you have all the characters that support that main role. And, you know, they probably could pull it all out of Halo lore. There's probably enough existing characters they could do that. But why would they?
They don't have to. I mean,
yeah.
I'm just thinking if they're going to pull more details from the books and kind of establish a little bit more of a, hey, that we actually trying to make at least connections into the established lore, then at least pull a few more names and maybe have a mix of like, okay, there's going to be a couple new ones that are going to maybe fit more of the new lore and Silver timeline, but anything that's kind of tied to the game lore and the book lore, maybe make those established names from the books.
There's some more book lore coming up that has been changed heavily.
Changed because they had to change it to fit or change?
I'm not going to go any further than that.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about it next time as I catch up on TV show episodes. But that's all we had for tonight. I know I'm behind. I've only watched one episode, well, technically two episodes, but only talked about the first one tonight. We'll at least get through episode 4 in the next podcast. There might be enough discussion to have two more podcasts on this. Probably will be. So plan might be go through episode 4 on the next podcast and then finish out the season for the podcast after that. In the meantime, come join us on Fridays for Fragment Friday. GT should be back hosting this week. No podcast next week as I will be out for our anniversary. GT, if you choose to do some kind of gameplay on Thursday night, feel free. There's plenty of games and mods out there, so I'll let GT handle that and let you guys know what will be happening. Anything else to add for the podcast tonight?
Not tonight.
All right. Well, thank you, Laird, Confile, and Pins in the Twitch chat for jumping on over. Anyone else I missed? Sorry I missed you, but thanks for coming over and listening to us. And for those downloading us and listening to us on podcast form, thank you for continuing to stick it out with us amid my crazy schedule in life with having a newborn and having two jobs and everything else. Appreciate you all sticking around and providing input into everything. We'll be interested to get everyone's inputs on what they think of the second season of the TV show. So the episode where we do the final, we'll probably go through and just do a call in Discord and social media to get people's opinions on what they think about the season in its entirety. So look forward to that post and we will catch you all on the next one. Have a good night, folks.
Night.
Thank you for listening to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. You can find our podcast on your favorite podcasting service and listen to us live every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Twitch. Check out our website, podtacular.com, and join the community on Discord at podtacular.com/discord. If you want to play Halo with us, come join us for Fraggin' Fridays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Become a supporter of the show by sharing the show with your friends and family, or help keep the lights on by subscribing to us on Twitch, donating via PayPal, or becoming a patron alongside Confal, Pens Halo, and Prestige Ace. Until next time, keep on fragging trucks.